Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
I have a shirt on. Be a legend. It's interesting. Has anybody else over the last 2.5 years of COVID reflected a lot? Anybody want to raise your hand to that? Just life, your life, life in general. Especially when you're locked in, you're thinking about life. They have right now a term called the Great Resignation because there's a lot of people that looked at their life and thought, I don't even like what I'm doing, and they resigned. We're yet to see where they've ended up because people are looking for employees all over the place. But there's been a lot of thinking. There's been a lot of pondering. If you're a Christian, hopefully you've been in a lot of prayer and just seeking what's next. I think I really truly believe what comes out of the season that we've gone through is going to be greater than where we've been. The season that's coming is greater than the season that we've gone through. I really do believe, I wore this shirt, I wasn't going to, I bought it because I liked it, and then I bought it for a youth conference because be a legend, one of the terms of legend is being a spiritual healer. There's a whole list of legends in my dictionary. I have a really old dictionary. I thought, I can get on board with that. But what I think is happening in the body of Christ is the Lord is taking his time to strip away peripheral. Things that he wants us to get back to the way that Jesus walked. And I know that's our term. I'm just using that for us. But as I've looked at my life and I've begun to look at what's important, that's partly because of age. I'm 48. Am I 48? 48. We're not sure. I'm in my 40s. 48. You take stock of where you've been and what you're doing and where you're going and what matters. And I'll tell you, what mattered today was singing He is Holy. Amen. And what really blessed me was as a church body, and I know not everybody's here, not everybody could come up or even felt to come up, and that's okay, but it was enough to go. It felt family, all singing holy, holy, holy. Did you know that we're going to do that for a long time when we die? And it seems right now like, oh my gosh, I remember as a kid thinking, really? That's what you're enticing me with? But I'll tell you, when you fall in love, there's moments where I could look into Krista's eyes and say, I love you, and I could say that for a long time. When you love the Savior, when you see what he's done, we're going to want to sing holy, holy, holy. The songs we are singing today, without planning it, I just love the fact that both songs had your name is. This is I speak, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows and burn like a fire. That's who he is, amen? And then the other song we learned today, Holy Forever, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Isn't that awesome? So I feel like the Lord is just stripping us of some things that are just unnecessary. And to be honest with you, I think one of the things that he wants to strip us of is for the need for us to be legends. As I pondered the last few years, I realized that, did you ever notice that the pendulum can swing so far when you try to overcorrect? You try to correct something and you want it to stop in the middle. It never stops in the middle. Why can't we get it to stop in the middle? And sometimes if you look at a pendulum, it does this, right? It's back and forth, back and forth. And I realized that the body of Christ has, unfortunately, you know, we want to go after with the dreams God's put in our hearts, but I'll tell you, the minute that we want to be a legend is the minute that we've missed it. Let me rephrase that. I do want you to be a legend, but you know where I want you to be a legend? I want you to be a legend as a father. I want you to be a legend as a mother, as a son, as a daughter, as a friend, as somebody that prays, somebody that loves ridiculously, your neighbor. I want you to be a legend with your neighbor. When you cut his grass and nobody looks and nobody knows. I just think we've come through a season in Christianity where being on the stage and being in the limelight was the thing that was sought after. And I realized over the last 3 years for my life, I'm like, Lord, you never came for the limelight. You came to serve. And I really feel like there's a correct, and hopefully you don't go, oh, he's speaking to me, I'm not serving enough. I'm talking about me too. I'm saying, Lord, you want us to go back to the simple things. I was in line the day of our anniversary. I might have shared this, I'll share it again, and picking flowers up for Krista. And two sweet ladies were in the, there used to be that checkout line, you know, that eight items or less fast checkout line. So I think they thought it was still a fast lane, and they saw me there, and they just got so blessed by the fact that I had flowers. They're like, oh, come to our line. Come in our line. Go before us, thinking I could get out quicker. And my line was actually going quick, but I thought, oh, I want to bless them. And as I got into this line, it was like, I don't know what happened, but the line shut down. And they were, like, mortified. But in the process, as I walked over, she said, anybody that's buying flowers for somebody needs to go in front of us. I'm like, you are too sweet. So what pursued as I had time on my hands was a conversation about my wife and I being married for 25 years. And she started with, oh, I was married, and we divorced at 21. Almost made it. It's just interesting that you can be in line and have conversations of redemption, because the lady behind her started talk. Before we know, we had this conversation, and they were so blessed to see a younger couple make it to 25 years. And God was just doing a really cool thing. I'm finding that wherever I go, wherever you go, there are opportunities if we take away the big need, the big platform, and we just go, Lord, I'm a servant wherever I go. I'm telling you, he will open up windows of opportunity like I've never seen before. I think he's bringing us back to the simplicity of relationship, the cross, and each other. We're seeing rage in the world, and I believe we are the solution. Because what do we carry? Peace. When you're in a line and everybody's getting agitated, you walk in with peace. You can crack a joke and change the entire atmosphere. I remember doing that when COVID was breaking out. I can't remember what I said, but I thought everybody was going crazy and we were all trying to get toilet paper. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Why toilet paper? Because if you don't grab food, there's no need for toilet paper. But as this, you know, those moments, and I just remember being in line thinking, this is nuts, but we're here, so here we go. And we're joking around, and I'll never forget the girl at the back behind me going, I'm so thankful you were in front of me because I was so scared. And I was just bringing humor. And you may say, well, you're not leading anybody to the Lord. No, but I'm changing environments and setting the seed for others. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me quickly. I'm using that word a lot today, but we kind of are in the quick mode. We've learned this scripture. We've talked about this scripture, Matthew 28. I'm really excited about the future. Not because it's Vision Day. I'm really excited about the future. How can you say that? Because Jesus is still on the throne. Amen, anyone? Amen. We've done a lot in the last year. If I look at what we've talked about, we did Rhythms of Grace. We talked about the need for a Sabbath. I hope you guys are still finding a way to have a Sabbath. It's really become more and more a part of our routine. We do very little on Sundays other than fellowship and enjoy a time. For me, I get a half day of, I have found since I've started Sabbath and I've really taken that half day that I get, that half day feels longer than most days. It's a very supernatural thing. When I go home, I'm like, I'm done. My phone's off, my news is off. I try not to respond. And those days, I often get to the end of the day, I'm like, man, this day has felt so long. Why? Because it's like gravity. It's a principle. When you honor it, God's going to do something with it. And then we studied covenants for a while, for quite a few weeks, and learning the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant and how gorgeous the new covenant is for us. Amen? And what we get to live in and what we don't have to live in anymore. And I love it. And then we were studying and, not or. And going to jump off of that today because we have to realize that we are in a day where we're going to be doing and stuff, not just one or the other. And in Matthew 28, we know this well as the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, go therefore. Why go therefore? Because Jesus went and took away the keys of death. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He now is victorious. And he says, now go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Turn to your neighbor and say, tag, you're it. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. When he came down, he said, listen, I've been doing this for 3 years. I'm giving you guys all authority and power now. Continue to do what I've done. Somehow over the course of history, not necessarily in this church, and I'm thankful for it, over the course of history, Christianity became the term and not discipleship. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But we want to go back to discipleship because if you're a disciple, you're called to go make a disciple. Who's called to go make a disciple? Who's called to go make a disciple? And for years upon years upon years, that's how it moved forward. It gets dangerous when we think that we're doing Christianity by gathering in a building. That's dangerous. But I'm so thankful that that's not what this house is about. But the next step, you want to be a legend? Go make disciples and do it without having to be known. Start doing a Bible study with your neighbor. But you know where it starts? Finding the needs of your neighbor and loving them. But Jesus clearly said that you have an assignment. So everybody say, I have an assignment. You have an assignment. You are sent. And you know what's really cool? Let me see if I can find it. Go to, if I can find it that quickly. I can't find it that quickly. So there's a scripture I was looking up today, and Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I have sent you. You know, it's interesting that word sent is apostolo, which we get the word apostolic. The word apostolic means sent ones. So as I have apostolo, as the Father has apostolo me, I apostolo you. Meaning that each of us are called to be apostolic. We're not all apostolic in office, but we are called to be sent ones. So as we're looking at the vision for this coming year, if you can grab a hold of this, that over and over that we go, we are sent ones. And what I've learned is that I'm not Judy or Jill. As I sat there and listened to him, we are all like, who are these people? Like, who are these people? I say that because they had a unique gifting and calling upon their life and a grace that protected them and kept them from, like, kept them doing what they were called to do. Yeah, absolutely. We talked about that. Like, there is a grace that was on their life to keep them, to be able to do that, and to keep them smiling and doing it every day with joy. That was their sent area to do. And now they have a new sent area, and they're excited to figure out what that's going to be, right? But every one of us, I am not them, but I am not you, and you are not me. I think of Lauren Page. Lauren, she's probably out with the kids. And, you know, Lauren's a teacher, and I always love, hi, Lauren, talking about you. She just walked by. I always love how she tries to bring the love of Jesus into the room by being that person that listens. And she's told stories of just how kids talk to her, open up to her. Why? Because it's the grace on her life. Abigail has a grace somehow to do dentistry. And she gets you locked into that chair. And you can't move. Really, you can't talk either. And she gets to love on you. But she has neighbors and different ones that come to her and just she gets to share with them and love on them. We all have the ability to do this. You following me? Turn to one more scripture. I know you guys know this, but I have learned that it takes a while before we kick into gear. One more scripture here, Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. I'm going to read it in two different versions. This is New King James. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Did you hear that? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You were created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know that Jesus, literally, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were planning this whole thing out, going, what is Krista good at? What should we get Krista to do? What should we get Gary Armley to do and Jack Armley? They literally planned our lives and had good works for us to do. This is out of, I believe, the NLT. I love this. For we are God's masterpiece. If you need encouragement in the morning, just wake up and just read that. We are God's masterpiece. Turn to your somebody, neighbor, say, you're God's masterpiece. Incredible workmanship. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us. I know time. We're going to be a little later today. I won't be too long, though. The Lord is teaching me right now to stop looking at people the way we look at them with our natural eyes. We had a moment. I can't share it. It's different when we're online, so I have to be so careful. All I can say is I was recently somewhere with somebody that was just different. It was I was initially judging with my own natural eyes, and by the end of the evening, I believe God used that person to begin to heal people in a room through stories and history. And it was a beautiful moment. And it just reminded me to stop looking with my natural eyes and start seeing what God is doing. Because in the natural, you would write this person off most likely. But in the spiritual, there was more at work. I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that we try to be legends all the time and we miss that moment right in front of us. That beautiful moment. I began to watch moments and pockets of healing in a room. I thought, oh, this is amazing. Just being in that moment. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's get to what we're talking about. You guys know for a long time, my desire has been to make sure we have a strong family within this church, small groups within this church. I have longed to see us become a family where people take care of each other. And so we are kind of experimenting with that over the, you know, that was like 2019, 2018. And then we had this thing called COVID hit. You remember it? And we couldn't go anywhere for a while. And so it made doing groups really difficult. You may say, oh, we're doing groups again. We're doing groups again. But here's the thing. My desire is that 2 years from now, that you and I will say, you know what? The lifeblood of relationship at Antioch is groups. What would we do without them? Right now, it's more like, what would we do with them? But in 2 years, I want it to be, what would we do without them? Let me tell you an interesting story. I am not sure if this person was an angel or not. This kind of sounds like, you know, John the Baptist. Took our family on vacation. We were up in Collingwood. We went to Wasaga Beach. And, you know, this stuff has been on my mind for a long time. And even when I'm on vacation, because it was a short trip, I was still thinking about it, getting back, knowing I was going to have to prepare this. And I'm standing, looking over the water like this. And this gentleman walks up to me. Hey. I'm like, hey. I think his name was Joe. And he starts talking to me. I'm like, hey, Joe, blah, blah, blah. We go on for about 5 minutes. And as I'm talking to Joe, you know, inevitably, if you talk long enough, the what do you do comes up, right? And this gentleman was a little rough, if you know what I mean. Language and just different things. But it's interesting. He says, so what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a pastor. He's like, oh, and he just kept on going rough. You know, because most of the time they're like, oh. Like they just realized if I could go back, I'd take away everything I said. He didn't. But let me tell you what ensued. He starts talking. He's like, oh, man, I go to church. I think it's a newer thing. But he says, man, let me tell you. And he starts telling me about his group that he's a part of. He says, you know, a long time ago, not that long ago, but, you know, a few years back, he says, I had this guy invite me to go to a group. And he's like, I don't want to go to a church group, those wussies, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but he kept asking. I don't know if you got that, but he kept asking. And so I finally said, yeah, I'll go. And he says, I went to this group. And he said, these guys were like men's men. man, they loved to hunt and they loved to fish. And these guys were guys. And man, I wanted to go back the next week. And here I am at a church group and we're studying the Bible. And he's kind of like perplexed that this is happening. And he's like, you know, it's crazy. And I said, oh, I got to tell you something else. He says, see that woman over there? He says, my group prayed her in. Because he says, when he went to the group, he's like, Joe, you haven't been married. You don't have a wife. We're going to pray a wife in. And so as a group, at the end of every group meeting, they would pray together, and they would pray for a wife for him. And he says, she came into my life. My group prayed in my wife. I'm sitting there going, what is going on? Why? He says, my group, we go. And he says, if I ever thought I was having a bad day, I would go there to my group. And he says, yeah, my day was bad, but usually somebody else was having a worse day. It'd make my day feel better, and then I'd pray for their day. We learned how to pray for each other. He says, my wife this summer, she's just recovering. She had prostate, that doesn't work. this story got really weird really quick. What's the one that it's deadly? Pancreatic cancer. She had pancreatic cancer. She went in for something else. They caught it right away, and they were able to treat it. He says, but I knew God was in control. Whatever he wanted was going to happen. And my group prayed every week. I'm like, this is incredible. I was not asking for a testimony for groups, but you just gave me a beautiful one. And literally, he got done talking. He went, all right, see ya, bye. And I kept looking throughout the day. Is he still there? Did he vanish? You know, he packed up and then they left. I do believe that was a God assignment. Can you tell? That was a God assignment. Because he confirmed to me everything I dream of for groups. See, we've had it where a lot of times we, you know, somebody gets pregnant, we got to make a sign-up sheet. We're so excited that people get pregnant, and then we got to make food for them. This is the way I believe it's supposed to be. When you have a group, it's like, we're taking care of them. They're our family. Of course. We're going to take care of them. When somebody has a need, we know that somebody's praying for you because you're part of a group. So our desire is to be that we're going to get Thrive groups back up and running. But I want to tell you, we're going to do something different this time. And I'm working a lot to try to find a model that I believe works. We've done it before where group is simply about us meeting and it's really about us. But I want to let you know, we're going to blow that wide open. Because if we're going to talk about being disciples and we're going to be sent ones, we have to be missional. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's good. You may not even understand what I'm saying, but I'm just getting you ready to start saying we need to be missional. What does missional mean? Let me give you a definition. Missional means every person is valuable, capable, and a source of the Father's love. Every person is valuable, capable, and a source of the Father's love. You are a sent one to bring love. So if we have a group and nobody's allowed to join it, where are you going to bring people if you're on a mission? It makes no sense. So it's going to be missional. I want to give you four things. If you want to write these down, type them in your phone. I would love you to. We'll give you them later on. But I'm really firm on the mission of Thrive because I have the acronym FIRM. F-I-R-M. And I'm really firm on it. All right? That just went flat. F. I want you to know that our groups are going to be formational. Formational means spiritual formation. I want you to know that these groups are an avenue for you and anybody you bring to be discipled. Here's the definition. An intentional process where a person is disciplined to align their thoughts and behaviors in order to walk like Jesus. You need to know that when you are going to a Thrive group, you are going to learn how to walk like Jesus. That's our goal in 2023 from January on. We're going to make sure that every month we're looking at how did Jesus walk and how do we get closer to it. And I believe from the youngest to the oldest, from the newest believer to the older believer, you're going to be able to learn to walk more like Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but I need to. When I walk past somebody that God's trying to kick me and get me to stop, I'm not walking like Jesus. It can be really easy to start finding out how you don't walk like Jesus. Letter I, inspirational. F is formational. I is inspirational. I believe that the seasoned Christians and even the non-seasoned are going to come in with stories and testimonies that are inspirational to make all of us in the group excited. How many were here when we did the fire starters? class. That was quite a long time ago. Raise your hand. It was Firestarters. Not many. Firestarters was basically about teaching us how to cross the chicken line. And chicken line meaning like, where's your line where you're afraid? If you're afraid to talk to somebody, there's your chicken line. Maybe you're okay with that, but you're afraid to like pray for somebody. That's your chicken line. And it just keeps going. But I'll tell you, when we'd come on those days and find out what people have been doing, it got you so excited. It's like, oh, if they can do that, that's simple enough. I can do that. And you'd go and do it. And then it would excite you. And then somebody else would get excited. We want it to be inspirational. R for firm is relational. We want you to connect with people and get to know people and be connected. And M is missional. We want these groups to always be going, hey guys, what have you done this week as a sent one, as a disciple? What have you done this week? Who are we gonna talk to next? And one of the coolest things that we're gonna do in these groups this year, we are going to have every group have a mission. That mission could be simply, let's say it's at my house and we decide to go, you know what, Gosfield School is down the road. Our mission is simply going to be, we're going to start interceding for the Gosfield teachers and principals. Maybe the Lord will lead us to go bring pizza one day to them. Just say, hey, I want you guys to know we care about you and you do hard work and we really love you. I don't know. But every group is going to have something beyond themselves that they're praying into. Because I think it's really important right now to have a focus bigger than us. Amen. Here's what happens when I think we only think about us. We implode. And we've been in a season where we have been trying to survive by looking after ourselves. And even the dynamics of COVID caused that. But it's time to start going, how do we look outside of this? Amen. I will give you much more details on our groups as the weeks come. We're going to start at the third week of October. So let me share with you how it's going to look. And if you can, there it thrives up. So in a given month, we're going to look at doing first week is Thrive Group. And that will be any week, any day of the week that your Thrive meets. So it could be Tuesday for one group, Wednesday for another group. The next week is going to be our regular prayer and worship. I don't know if we have a slide for that. But we already have prayer on the second week. Third week going back, we're going to have groups. Everybody following us? So we're going to have groups week one, prayer week two, groups week three. We're trying to do it where we can manage and sustain things. So what do we have for week four? Because we want something every week. Obviously, we have church. Do you remember when I talked about and? We gather and we scatter. Scatter in this meaning the small groups where we can invite people and we can do groups. So that's the Thrive over here. And we gather on Sundays and we do that. But as we talked as a staff, we wanted to get this going in the summertime but didn't have a chance to. We really know that we're missing some of the components that we've had in place from before. And so as we prayed, we realized this is not the season currently, right now, meaning that I don't know when it'll be, but I'm saying right now, you need to know the seasons. This is not a season to do a conference. We just realized that there are some things that are not in place for us to do a conference. But we do know that we need to have places where we can have people encounter God. Now, we do that on a Sunday, but we also know that there are people in other churches, friends, that really want to encounter God. Hannah, I think of you and the stories that you shared of bringing friends out. You guys had that worship night. And I don't know, did your friends have a church background? Long time ago, but did they... They lost it, but did they get really blessed and rocked that night? That was a young adult night, and they just came and they worshiped. And I think, Sean, you prophesied over them. We know we need nights like that. So we have to be relational and have places for that, but we need to have places where they can encounter as well. So at the end of every month, we're starting a night on a Friday night called Encounters, Encounter Night. If I could describe it like anything, it's like the last Friday night of our conference. How many remember those nights where just things would happen? I go back to when Johnny was around. If Johnny got up on the platform on a Friday night, you know everything's about to change. He would get up with, if you don't know Pastor Johnny, he was from Whitehorse, and he would get up there, an African-American gentleman that would just blow the place up somehow, some way, some shape, some form. It could be we'd end up dancing for an hour more. It could be that he'd just start prophesying. Like, it was awesome. So we are carving out these Friday nights, the last Friday, it's right up there, Encounter Night. First one, September 30th, and you realize our subtitle is Refreshing Hope. How many realize this world needs hope right now? And how many want to be refreshed? So these nights are going to be nights with full worship, and our agenda is simply going to be, we're going to prepare the way we feel to, but it's going to be like, Lord, what do you want to do? That means we may get through a whole set of worship and then close and then have a word and have a ministry line. But it could mean that the second song in, God breaks out and we need to do a ministry line. We're just going to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want? Because we got a whole night and it's okay. We want you to come and be completely refreshed, restored, and renewed. We do that on Sundays, but I just feel like we needed to carve out a time for a little more freedom in that and also more time for that. We're excited to also have, and Pastor Rod's going to come on up. I don't know if it's just you or, because we feel like we just shouldn't have all the fun. The kids need to have fun too. Thank you, Bruce. One person. Let's try that again. It shouldn't be us that have all the fun. The kids should have fun too.
We had been praying about, without even knowing that this was the direction, but Karen and I had been asking the Lord, how do we have encounters for the kids? And it's not that we can't do that on Sunday morning, but Sunday morning is a little bit more structured. We really do want to teach and disciple in that way, but we want a way in which that the kids can really, the word is be amazed by our God. And so when I began to talk and Karen began to look at a few things and I was pleasantly surprised because the Lord just began to just downpour on her. And she's filling in this morning for children's ministry, or she'd be up here sharing herself. But we are, we're not doing babysitting. So there is no plan for you, for example, hear my heart in this, for you to drop off your kids and go home. This is something where I'm believing that our kids are going to encounter God. I believe that we are calling these nights, this group, in fact, Wow Kids, because we want it the wow factor that they are going to be so falling in love with their God that it's like, wow. Everywhere they turn around, it's just wow. And so Karen is already, she's already so excited about this. I know that Heather's going to be jumping in with us as well, and many. I will be here most of the time in the evenings in this particular service, but jumping back and forth at times as well. But I believe that there is no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. I believe that when kids ask the Holy Spirit to come into their lives and we begin to see the transformation that begins to happen in them, that we begin to raise up a generation that we're not looking for them later on to make an impact. We're looking for them to make an impact now. So this gives us an opportunity that in these encounter nights for kids, what we're calling wow nights, and we're calling them in the sense of the ministry will be wow kids, that they will just be caught up in the presence of God. And there will be, now with anything with kids, we're going to have the most fun place that you can imagine. But it will be built upon the fact of discipleship. We will be built on, we are going to be doing worship. I'm so excited for this because we have longed again to bring worship. That's my daughter, in case you didn't know, that was in the background, the yang woo-woo, because she's going to be doing our worship and helping us with this. But there's nothing like kids in worship. And I'm telling you, when it's not like this is mom and dad's worship place, this is my worship place. And when they begin to worship and encounter God, it is just amazing. We will be having so much fun as well. Different big things planned that they can say to their friends, hey, you guys want to come out. You got to come out. This is going to be so much fun. And so there will be a great combination that night of all of these things. And no adults, you can't come upstairs. There we go.
Because we feel like everything needs to be taken out of the house, we have a brilliant strategy. During the kids' ministry times, we're going to feed them lots of candy and Coke. So then when you go home, you're going to have hours to talk about, no? Talk about what happened at church, and you guys can pray together, and you'll be on the floor at 2 a.m. wishing God would put your kids.
That's not what's going to happen. Okay. But there is a sense of, though, that we hope to bring the kids down, actually, at different times and pray and minister.
Absolutely. Our dream has been that, and we've seen glimmers of it, where kids ministering to adults and young youth ministering to adults. So we're excited for that. So as you know, Thrive and these encounter nights, I believe they will be a pillars, as I've talked about, that will be pillars for what God is about to do and continue to do at Antioch. We want to see encounter nights, we want to see revival. But we need to know that this side is not revival. You know what I'm saying? Just because we're in a Thrive group does not mean that's not revival. Because we fully expect to be empowering and encountering God at our Thrive groups. It just may look a little different. It may look at the very end when somebody says, man, my week's been really tough. And all of a sudden you see three men that have been coming that don't normally pray, lay hands on that person and begin to believe for them. Did you know that's revival? We got to stop thinking it's just one way, because when three men that don't pray find a place where they can pray and just begin to say simple prayers, God's doing something. Amen? Amen. And then revival is also over breaking bread. If you didn't know that, read the Word of God, because they had meals all the time. That's why they walked everywhere. They had to burn it off. I am slowly entering. Okay, anyway. Encounter nights. We have two more things. We are also excited. Krista, why don't you quickly come up? We're going to be also continuing women, and I want you to know we are going to be slowly doing something with men's ministry. It's kind of been on the hold for a while, and we really want to have, my goal is to have four men type of gatherings this year, meaning that we may get together and play games just for fellowship. But I also want to let you know, men, and I'll brag on it once I'm done reading it, but Chris Valentin has just written a book. It's not officially out yet. And it's all about the fatherless generation. Men, you want to be a legend? It's time to become fathers like never before. And in this room, we already have incredible fathers. But the next step is God's going to lead us to be fathers to people that are not our kids. Because the only way, if you want to see a world change back to the way it's supposed to be, it's going to take prayer. But I'll tell you, it's going to take fathers and mothers to get into people's lives to see their lives changed. Because I'm seeing a generation, I'm witnessing it with my son's friends, that they have not been raised with the standards, the morals, or even the compassion. Ryan and I were having this conversation the other day. You know, your revelation, simply, and it was amazing what you're sharing, but, you know, I was raised to brush my teeth. This is what Ryan was sharing with me. Like, we brushed our teeth twice a day. We used toothpaste. We think that's just normal. Did you know there's generations that are not getting hygiene? They're not being taught anything. It's hard to believe, but this, and then we think, who's going to be in charge over the years down the road? Well, people that don't know how to have finances, people that don't know how to do these things. So it may seem overwhelming, but I'm excited to know that it is beginning, that the word is beginning to get out there, and fathers are about to rise up, and mothers, and we're going to see things change. Amen.
All right, so we have a ladies' Bible study starting again, I believe. What was the date again? I can't remember. I'm checking. October the 11th, I think, was what it was. That's going to be our first day. And we are going to be doing another Jenny Allen Bible study. And I know a lot of people have been really blessed by the last couple ones that we've done of her curriculum that she has. So the next one we're going to be doing is called Chase. And I'll give you a little blurb about what it's going to be about. So it says, the study takes a look at seven major events in the life of David and his psalms that flowed out of those experiences. David was reckless, broken, sinful, passionate, and humble. And the message of his life is that God wants the deepest part of us to truly know and love him. So it sounds amazing. I'm really looking forward to it. And we are going to be doing it online. So just because of everything that we have going on here at the church, it may be difficult for you to come out another night. So we really want to give the opportunity for people to just come in and join online. I'm not sure if we'll be doing Zoom yet. I've got to look into a different platform that we can use to be able to do that. And so we'll give you more details as it comes up. If you know you want a book, I'm going to be ordering them tomorrow. So if you do want a study guide, let me know, and I will get one of those for you. I think it'll be around $15 for the book, or you can buy the Kindle version online through Amazon as well. They have those there that you can do it that way as well. But it's going to be good, and there will be more information as it gets closer.
Awesome. Last but not least, I know we're running late. So we got Thrive groups, we've got Encounter Nights, we've got women's and men's ministry. Back in 2019, we began to pray about what would it look like to go after a town. We do that spiritually, we do that through prayer and different things, but we began to pray about what would it look like if we began to look for issues that towns were having and go after those issues. And so we began to pray about this idea of a coffee shop and the Forge Coffee House and Training Center. It looks a little differently currently because it's within our church, and I believe that will change one day. We'll probably, this will be one, will be the first one, and then down the road, there'll be more in other places. But I announced a while back that we are blessed to be able to hire Brandy as our coordinator. Yes, thank you. I was wondering where those were at. Peter, if you could just put those out. Peter's going to give clipboards. The clipboards are simply this. If you want to know more information and you are interested in potentially, I'm saying if you sign up, it doesn't mean you have to be in a group, but you want to learn more about groups and get involved in groups potentially, please put your name down. That's what these clipboards are for. So back to this, in sometime this year, in the last year, we were able to hire Brandy on to begin to brainstorm, and we're excited, and she's going to give you more information. We're finally having a launch for the Forge, because as soon as we got it done, COVID hit, and we couldn't launch it. And you may say, what, we've had the Forge all along. The Forge was never meant to be about Antioch. The Forge was always meant to be about Essex. And so we've been really praying into how do we impact the town of Essex. Come on up, Brandy. I promise we'll close after this.
Good morning. So the vision behind the Forge is to rebuild and restore the foundations of healthy living in people's lives so that they can then go back into life with a renewed capacity to thrive. And so our heart in this is to be able to begin to reach out to the people around us, the towns around us, the county around us, when we begin to see things like marriages that are struggling or people who don't necessarily know how to handle their preteen child or somebody who is struggling a little bit with some habits that could help them be stronger in their mental and emotional health. And so what we're asking of you is that you would begin to look around and begin to invite people to the different things that we are hosting that would help them be empowered. And we're believing that as they walk in the door, they are going to find a community and an atmosphere that leads them to wonder what it is that we have that has given us the capacity to thrive that we have. So we're going to be having a launch party. It's free to attend. It's going to be fun. We're going to have some local musicians who are going to be there for our entertainment. We're going to provide snacks and beverages for purchase. We're going to do a silent auction so that we can raise funds to offset the cost of paying. We believe that all of our facilitators who come and do workshops need to be paid for that. But we also want to keep everything that we offer accessible to the communities that we're reaching out to. So we're going to do an online auction. We're going to have an opportunity for people to partner on a monthly basis if they want to do that. So our request is that do we have cards?
Yep.
We're good. Okay. We have these cards here. They've got all the details about the launch party on one side, and on the back, the fall schedule for what we're going to be offering in the Forge as it sits right now. And so we would encourage you to invite people to the party, bring them out with you, and then we will make sure that they get a copy of that schedule as well.
All right, so just to close, if you grab a card and you don't know who should get one or who should ever tell about this stuff, then you know you're on mission. That means you get to meet a neighbor. That means you get to have your eyes open when you go shopping. My prayer is that this coming year, we would begin to look carefully. Look around us. Krista's going to be doing a finance class the beginning in November, I believe it is. It starts October 27th. Budgeting basics. Ryan did a great course last year. We're going to be redoing that course, the next level. But we quickly began to realize there are people that don't know how to even save. They live from paycheck to paycheck at best. They say the average person, for every dollar they have, they spend $1.27. That means you're constantly going in debt, never getting ahead. So how many know you can't? It's hard to have a healthy family and not have arguments if you're always in debt. So we thought, what are simple ways? Well, Krista is phenomenal at saving money. Phenomenal. And I love it now because our kids go to buy something and they'll go, oh, I want to. Oh, it's not on sale. I'll wait. Krista's like, cha-ching. Because I'll tell you, when you see your kids waiting because they know that they shouldn't spend more than they need to, that's a good thing. We just had it where Megan was going to buy a backpack, and she just, no, I'm going to wait. And she got it for how much off? 25%. There she is. And she was like, 25% off. I'm like, there it is. That's it. And our kids are starting to realize now that when we go, hey, you know, we're going on vacation. If you have the money, you can go. They're like, we have the money. We can go. Not on the one we're going to. But so here's the point. Begin to look around. Begin to see the needs around you, because that is being Christ-like. In the early days, hospitals, you know who they were formed by? Christians. Universities, you know who they were formed by? Christians. Because they saw the need and they wanted to transform society. We get to have that opportunity, and we have so many ways now. If you have a friend that loves the Lord but has never really encountered the prophetic in God, we have an encounter night. If you have a friend that is desperate for relationships because they have nobody right now, we have a thrive night for that, where they're going to be discipled. If you know people in the community, they don't know God at all, but man, they need some simple things, and maybe it can be a bridge. We got something for that. So I believe God's having us hit every area. Amen? Amen? Sheesh. So here's the simplest thing that I'm going to close. The easiest thing you can do to start off when things are on Facebook and we share them, you know how you can help? You simply share them. Every time somebody shares an announcement, something that we're having, it goes out so your friends can see it. And then it goes out so their friends can see it. And it's such a simple thing to click share. And simply say, hey, I'm excited about this night. And somebody else may go, I wonder what this night's about. And they click on it and they find out and they come. That's one of the things as a church I really want to encourage us to do. All right, why don't you stand?
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.